Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today, we are watching Devin's Ghost, Tale of the Bloody Boy. Legend of the Bloody Boy.
Legend of the Bloody Boy.
I keep forgetting what kind of mythos we are working with this bloody boy. Josh, you have
I do.
Stats for it?
Devin's Ghost, Legend of the Bloody Boy is a 90-minute horror action movie. Rated R.
It did get a rating.
So it did get rated.
Okay, good to know.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
It is written by Ron Day, Tim Grace, and Karen Ashley.
Okay.
That kind of explains a lot.
That explains a lot.
And it is directed by Johnny Yong Bosch and Koichi Sakamoto, both names that I think Power Ranger fans will recognize.
I would hope so. It came out in 2005, I remember seeing. I don't know if there is an actual date. If anyone remembered to write down the day it came out. It just said 2005. So we already watched it. We watched it last night, actually. We were going to watch it and then record an episode immediately afterwards, but when we finished, it was like 9:30.
And we just watched Devin's Ghost.
We just watched Devin's Ghost, Legend of the Bloody Boy, and it was just not in the cards.
Yeah.
So I have some notes that are basically a fever dream.
All right, let me hit. There's three summaries on IMDb.
Okay,
I'm gonna read two of them because the middle one is a little longer than I want to read right now.
Okay.
The first one comes from, I guess, IMDb user Claudio Carvalho from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And it says, when the Canyon High School reopens under the administration of Mr. and Mrs. Walker, the students recall Devin Anderson, a boy that killed his parents and vanished. On the first day of class, there is double homicide. There is a double homicide. I'll throw the A in there for you, buddy. Don't worry. And Symphony, her boyfriend Craig, and her friends Josh and Genesis believe that bloody Devin is back, but the police believe in a copycat. The sensationalist reporter Miller, he does have a first name. It's Mark. Mark Miller.
Like the comic book writer?
Also attributes the murder to Devin, but Devin is really back with his base. baseball golf, and he wants to play killing people. I did not pre-read that. I like read the first few sentences and I was like, oh, this is written like a human would write it. And well, then that last sentence just kind of fell apart.
He's from Brazil, so English is probably his second language.
But you wouldn't guess that until you get to the last sentence.
Yeah, but still, like, you know, give him the BOTD. Also, he wants to play killing people is the best. And his baseball golf is exclusively what I will call that now.
And so this next one that I'll read is accredited to producer.
Okay, this is from Karen Ashley.
This is from Karen Ashley.
Karen Ashley writes,
a horror-stricken and superstitious community is terrorized by a serial killer intent on hunting down couples in Canyon City. Plagued by a 10-year-old legendary story of the mysterious murder of Devin Anderson, this community still harbors curiosity when the current victims and the evidence surrounding their murders appear to be very similar to what happened to Devin and the parents accused of murdering him.
Okay. That's wrong. And there's also a third one you told me about that is very, very long. And,
it is.
And
it's like three times the length of those
by
two.
Anonymous, so that means it's also by Karen Ashley.
She's like, wait, I got more to say.
She's like, I want to get my stuff in, brother.
We're not going to read that one, though.
So we watched it. We had to find it extra legally, I will say.
Look, I ordered a copy on Amazon.
We did pay for it.
Apparently, I ordered it in the 90s, and it's going to take 4 to 8 weeks to deliver
to
my
someone
house.
Has to walk it here from Missouri.
No CODs.
Yeah, no cash on delivery. Can you even imagine if that was like a thing now? That would make no sense. That would be a horror show. So we found it. If anybody would like to watch it, tweet me on at Morphin Grid. I will send you a link to it. It is one of those websites where it tells you that there are pop-ups, and that there are tricks on the website for you to be weary of. So when you click on it to play, immediately hit Control W to close the window that pops up after it. And then when you click on it again, immediately hit Control W to close that window too, and then you're good. And then you should be good, and we have no other problems streaming it from there. Also, if you have Netflix DVD, because you're a grandparent, maybe, you can get it on there. So
Netflix DVD just sounds so weird.
It sounds like I saw this picture of a red VHS that said Netflix on it, and I felt deeply uncomfortable. And now I feel like that's just what Netflix DVD is.
You remember that '80s text generator that was going around?
It was like
the Starcade. They had like you could pick between like the palm tree.
Oh,
background.
Yeah.
I feel like Netflix DVD's logo is in that.
Yeah, I played around with that before you could put punctuation in there, and it made me very upset. So we're going to jump in to Devin's Ghost, Tale of the Bloody Boy. Legend of the Bloody Boy. I am never going to get it right. It's not much of a legend.
It's both.
It's more of a tale. So we start off on what I'm calling the So Weird title sequence. There's a show on Disney Channel called So Weird. I cannot tell you a single person who starred in it. Oh, Eric Von Detten starred in it at some point. I don't know if he was early or if he came in later. But it was about this girl and her mom who might have been a rock star. And they went to towns on tour. And there was always a weird thing there. And she would have to, like, investigate it. It was basically like Baby X-Files. But it was very good. And had a very distinct title sequence that I'm pretty sure Devin's Ghost just totally ripped off.
I don't remember the title sequence.
I'm probably very wrong. But that's the feeling I got was the title sequence. And we see some kids playing. And there's a kid playing catch with his dad. And there's another kid who's, like, angry and upset that he's not getting to play catch. And then we cut inside to some drug parents.
It's swear to God, it's just Larry the Cable Guy sitting on a couch. Like, he might have a beer, but I think he's just yelling or he's just looking like a jerk.
I think he definitely has a beer.
But then we go to the bathroom and the woman is definitely doing cocaine.
Yeah, we don't see it, but
we
see the aftermath. And then she, like, goes out and they all start yelling at Devin. And then...
Oh, the little boy is Devin.
The little boy is Devin, obviously. And then the movie stops and it starts up again. And now we're at a school at the grand opening of a high school.
They go just the extra vile to make it weird.
Yeah.
Okay, because the building that this high school is reopening in is the old elementary school. And the man, who I'm guessing is now the superintendent, is the former principal of the high school in the old building. That's... But now it moved to this elementary school building, so it gets a new principal. And the new principal is a woman who was a teacher at the elementary school.
Yes. So, basically...
She says 10 years ago.
Yeah. So, they said they were 7 when it happened, so they're, like, seniors now.
Okay.
They're, like, 17. Johnny LaBosch and Karen Ashley are 100% not 17 in any way.
Not at all. They have no right to be playing teenagers in 2005.
No. Have you heard of Dawson casting? I'm sure you have.
Yeah. If I hadn't, I can guess what it might be.
Yeah, it's like how on Dawson's Creek everyone was 30 playing teenagers. This is worse.
Yeah.
Busy Phillips was at least like a bright-faced young girl on that, even if she was in her 20s. I can buy James Vanderbeek as Dawson being a teenager. Johnny Young Bosch is a dad.
Yeah, and Karen Ashley is just like...
It's like your fun aunt.
Yeah, it's your fun aunt Karen Ashley.
It's your fun aunt Karen. So they are teens. So I guess this is this is the weirdest thing, because in addition to it being unnecessary that like this was an elementary, but now it's a high school, because no one would do that. Presumably, you still have the high school, right?
Is that now the elementary school? Did you just flip
them
for some reason?
Or did the elementary school graduate to high school?
It reached level 32, and it finally evolved, 16, and then evolved into a high school. When it reaches 32, it'll evolve into a university.
Oh, I see. I was going to say, at 16, it hit a middle school, and then at 32, right. It turned into a high school. So, basically, the old principal's like, I used to be principal, but I'm not, which is confusing.
But he's still an authority figure in, like, the school, so he has to be a superintendent. That's the only thing above principal,
right? If he's not the superintendent, then he's the double principal.
He's double in principal.
Stop it. This movie, it bad. Just so you know, we're going to be trying to have some fun with it, because it if you had like a couple friends, like
yeah, watch this like, movie, watch, just have a
yeah,
good time.
Like, have a good time watching this movie. If you like horror movies,
don't watch.
Probably
it.
Don't watch this movie.
But even weirder than the elementary high school situation is. In the middle of her acceptance speech for being the new principal, she's just like, I had a student that I couldn't save.
Yeah, she gets like super sad and dreary. And then we cut to across the street where the house was. Like, yeah.
Well, before we get even to the speech, I think the movie after the open, like, comes up on her just staring at that house. And then like, she goes back to yeah. the school and makes a speech. So it just like establishes that this spooky house is across the street from the high school.
Yeah, it's like right there. And she's like, yeah, there was a student who I couldn't save, but I should have been able to. So I'm not going to let that happen again.
But I don't think there's any context that leads into her saying
no,
that.
No, because we don't know what happened. We saw nothing about this bloody boy. Like, at all. Like, there... If you could re-edit this movie, you could make some of it work.
Yeah.
But you don't get it in the order that you need it to for anything to make sense. Kind of the whole movie. So then, she has some flashbacks during her speech, and like it's like her as younger, and her husband, the old principal, also younger, because he has no gray in his hair in the flashbacks, and her hair is like down.
Which, yeah, she just let it down yeah. instead of having it up in a bun.
Which is this movie's way of saying this happened in the past. Yeah. It's like the hair is down, because we'll get another one of that later. Then we cut over to a guy named Mark Miller, who is the smarmiest news reporter who I feel like works for himself.
Well, he's doing a news report in front of like a news van.
Yeah,
he's literally standing in front of his own giant face,
a big old version of his face. Mark Miller, Channel 3 News. I feel like Mark Miller is Channel 3
he
News.
He owns Channel 3,
and it's just him and a camera guy sometimes. Because like later on, we will see no camera guy. He'll have the camera when he needs it. So I guess this camera guy was just a prop. The principals, both of them. Come up and they're like, hey, we hate you, get out of here, Mark Miller, you scumbag.
They say something like, we said you couldn't come on school property, but he's like, yeah, but you didn't say that about my cameraman, and so I just walked in his footsteps so you couldn't tell I came in.
We walked single file to hide our ranks. Then we cut back to the school and they're like, go. Okay, here's some logistical issues with this being an elementary school but now being a high school, is like, you have to change how big the rooms are. Because if you've been in an elementary school as an adult, they are weirder. Like, they are built to have, like, here is a story time nook, and you can have naps here. And, like, they're just smaller in some places, but also bigger in weird ways. And it's like, it wouldn't work.
And you have to add all the lockers to the hallway.
Yeah, there's no locker. I had lockers
there's, like,
when we
cubbies
hit...
cubbies in the classroom.
Yeah, when I hit fourth grade, I think we got lockers. But that was only in, like... one part of the school.
No, I did not have a locker until I was a man.
Until you were a man.
Not until middle school did I have a locker.
We had them in fourth grade and fifth grade. I think that was like the second floor had lockers. Her name is Symphony. I heard Tiffany for the first 20, 25 minutes. I'm just going to call her Ish.
She's just Ish.
She's just Ish. Her friend did not get a name until much later as well. Her friend is Genesis. The blonde. She is blonde in my notes for a while. Her boyfriend, we couldn't figure out if he was Craig or Greg, so we called him Gregory.
We called him Carlos until his name came up halfway through the movie.
Yeah. And then in my notes, Johnny Amash is Adam, but he plays Josh.
He plays Josh.
But he's just Adam in my notes because it's Adam and Ish. Come on. I wish they would have gotten your boy Tiki in there. you tell me your boy Tiki couldn't have played Freedom?
Oh, yeah. There's also Freedom, who knows everything about Devin and seems like this weird, like, occult follower of Devin's ghost.
There's a point in the movie where I figured out that they really wanted you to think that he was the copycat murderer.
But the movie did not do any kind of job convincing
no,
you of
the
that.
No, the movie shows you it shows Devin you right away face. All the time, and then it's like, but what
it
if it's
not? It even shows you, like, the origin
how
of
he,
grown up
how he
Devin.
Yeah, it's like how he gets his baseball golf. Like, you even see that in the movie.
So He doesn't get a name until it's probably past halfway through the movie.
Oh, yeah. It's so definitely we just, in the throes
of it. We were just calling him Guy Liner.
Yeah, hi. Guy Liner here.
His name is Freedom. And there's another girl whose name is like Fantima.
It's Fatima, and she white as hell.
Yeah.
Like, she is this like white blonde girl named Fatima.
And then there's Craig.
There's Josh, Craig, Josh, and Scott.
And I think like Jermaine.
Yeah. It's like, come on, guys. What were you doing? What was the naming sesh?
Karen Ashley named half of the characters, and Johnny Bosch named the rest.
If I had to guess, up to you to figure out who is who. So then so Isha's like kind of a bitch. Like, I don't know if I can. I feel like that might slide under the explicit tag. She's not like, she's mean. Like, she's just like, she's a mean girl, essentially. This is 2005. Yeah. This is right after Mean Girls came out. That was a whole thing. So she's kind of a mean girl. Genesis are in their cheerleading outfits because I guess there's like a football pep rally game thing tonight, as we will see. So like, I guess on the days that happens, you have to wear your cheerleading outfit all day. Is that a thing that people do, or is that just a movie thing?
I remember seeing the cheerleaders in their outfits like during school.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the football players in their jerseys during school, and I think that just meant there was a game that day.
That makes sense. We didn't have a football team. We did have cheerleaders, and I think they cheered the basketball team, because that's the only team I can remember that wasn't a girls' team.
You don't cheer a baseball team.
No, I don't. We had a baseball team, and we had a soccer team that was like a very afterthought, and we had a girls' field hockey team who ruled. And like, I remember there being cheerleaders, because at every pep rally they did a thing, but I don't know who they cheered for. I'm assuming there's a basketball team. We had a very good basketball team. We still do. Conan High is the number one ranked M division, which is like medium or smaller, in New Hampshire. So
nice.
Go Orioles. That's a weird local history for you. Write that down. It will be on the test. So then we cut to we see Guy Liner, a.k.a. Freedom, who is holding this afternoon this night or soon. I don't think we ever see it.
During school? I guess, opposite the pep rally?
It is. He is holding a bloody boy rally. What this means...
He's rallying up all the bloody boys.
Yeah, he's getting all them bloody boys together, getting them all fired up. They're going to take on Angel Grove High. Oh, this is Canyon High.
Come on.
From Canyon City. And I was like, you could just call it Stone Canyon if you wanted to.
It makes a lot of sense that Karen Ashley wrote this, because she wrote what she knows.
Yep. There are two Power Rangers fight scenes and one Power Rangers pose from Karen Ashley.
Yeah.
Like, she straight up squares up like a Power Ranger.
Yeah, it is. The whole shot and everything is just like mid-putty fight zoom in.
Yeah, absolutely. So... they're like, get out of here, Guy Liner, because they said his name, I think, but if they did, it was just a word. It's just the word Freedom,
so
I wouldn't have put it together.
Leave us alone, you. Like, get out of here, we don't like you in particular.
So, Gregory doesn't know what's going on. He did not go to the school back then. He, I guess, was dating. What happened to the old high school? a lot of logistical holes in this movie. You know what they should have done? Here, let me fix this movie real quick. It happened at a high school, and this is their reunion.
The reason that this is now the high school and used to be the elementary
is because they are now high schoolers.
And also, like, everything happened to Devin when he would be in elementary school, and it's a way for, like, that teacher to see him.
Right, yeah.
And, like, still be in that building now.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. None of it seems necessary.
No, not very much. So we get, like, this little argument between them where they're trying to avoid talking about it, but Isha's clearly been, like, plagued by it her whole life, and they don't want to tell Gregory what's going on, and he's like, and I think Freedom's like, yeah, you're just scared, right?
Well, there was an incident with Devin the three of them, Symphony, Genesis, and Josh, all saw.
Yeah, so, and I think Freedom might have been a part of it, it seems like. We don't see him in any flashbacks, but like...
I don't feel like they know Freedom before
they definitely
now.
Do. He's too close to the issue, so I don't know what is going on. But like, basically, a year after... because they'll explain this three times, so I'll just get it out now. So, a year after Devin went missing... And there was a whole thing, and they thought his parents killed him, and they never found a body, and it was a whole mess. And his parents, like, had a very good lawyer, and they got off of everything. And then a year later, his parents were murdered. The attorney, I think, disappeared or was murdered.
Yeah, just ended up missing.
Yeah, nebulously taken care of. And then Freedom Symphony, not Freedom, Genesis, this is such stupid names. Genesis, if your name is any of these, I apologize. Symphony, Genesis, and Josh are kids.
My name is Josh.
That's your name.
That's not a stupid one. That's a good one.
You and Adam
good
job, have the same movie. Name. Yeah.
Good job, Johnny. You picked a good one there.
They saw this bloody boy who was Devin, who presumably they would have known because they went to school with and knew him before.
If I'm remembering the flashback right, they are outside of the elementary school playing
at night,
and they see Devin in his yard while the house is burning.
I don't remember if it was burning.
And he is bloody.
He's covered in blood. And then there's this one like quick shot of him jumping through Symphony like a ghost.
I don't remember that.
I remember that because I was like, hold on a minute, player. What's going on here? This movie's called Devin's Ghost, and we'll talk about that later.
Yep.
I don't think we get a straight answer.
The movie doesn't want you to believe it is a ghost, but we'll still try to tell you that sometimes.
It's so weird. It's so weird. So then we cut to, because Easter's like, yeah, I am scared. Like, blah, blah, blah. My dad died or is gone or is missing because of this, like in this situation. And we don't really know exactly what's up with that yet, but she is scared. Smash cut to her having nightmares about the bloody boy as a kid.
In class.
In class at night?
No, I don't think it was at night.
It's outside the windows, it's dark.
Okay, it was shot at night, but I don't think it's supposed to be nighttime.
It's not supposed to be night, but, well, because they're shooting in a school, so you have to shoot either during the summer or at night, right? So it's nighttime here. But then later, they do a lot of day for night shots that aren't fooling anybody. It's a low-budget movie. I don't know what... I don't know. You know, you do what you can. So she wakes up screaming in the middle of class. Gregory tries to say, like, calm her down, and she just pushes him.
She wakes up, but she's still, like, delusional, I guess.
She's still in the throes of the nightmare.
Yeah. So she shoves him right on his butt, and then Josh comes over and is, like, able to calm her down and, like, snap her out of it.
Yeah, she throws him across the room like a Jedi.
Yeah, well, she's a Power Ranger.
That was my joke, is that, hey, she's a Power Ranger. She got all that power in her. She's a new Power Ranger. She's very strong. Then everyone's yelling a lot in this scene, and no one's, like, helping her calm down except Josh. And then we cut to her in the principal's office, which looks like a closet. It's so small. And this is a really weird part. Because she's like, do you want to talk about it? Like, this has happened before.
Yeah, this happened in my class 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You have, like, a chronic problem of falling asleep during class.
Yeah, and, like, that's not the problem, even though you'd think that would be, like,
right, like, none of the teachers were mad that she had fallen asleep.
And there's,
like, I don't know if you've ever fallen asleep in class. It never goes over well.
Oh, they hate that. My favorite was my science teacher in high school, or a science teacher that I had, Mr. Roland. He had a wiffle ball bat behind his desk.
Oh, boy.
And if you fell asleep, he would be like, shh, shh, shh. And he would go up with a wiffle ball bat, and he would slam it down right next to your head.
Oh.
And so it was just like wiffle ball bat hitting a wooden table right next to you. He did it to this kid named Tim, who was a dickhead. and Tim almost went through the roof. It was hilarious. This is just to say, like, school should start later for teens. We need more sleep than you allow us, or allowed us then. I am no longer a teen. I have been a bloody boy removed from a teenager. So she's like, it's okay. Like, you know, the school reopening has got you stressed, like things like that. And that, I think that's why she's not sleeping, is because, like, she has to go back to the school that was elementary school where all the bad stuff. But it didn't.
Before.
But here's the thing. The bad stuff didn't happen at the school. It happened across the street from the school one night, and that was it. Like,
yeah. And for whatever reason, you were out playing at the elementary school at whatever ungodly hour.
Yeah, at 10 o'clock at night. I don't get it. I don't, like, this movie shouldn't be, but is still, somehow. Then a news report turns on of 10 years ago, when the mom and the dad were acquitted
Does Mrs. Walker turn the TV on?
I didn't see.
Because is she like, here, watch television and calm down. And it's just the Legend of the Bloody Boy on the news.
Oh, no. It's a 10-year-old.
Because it goes through the whole thing of like, the whole story we were just told already.
Yeah, again, but like just a slightly different version. Yeah. Because it's the parents being like, we didn't kill him, blah, blah, blah.
And then she shuts it off and she's like, I'm sorry you had to see that.
I think she's
talking to us.
Yeah, she should be apologizing. I thought it was a ghost that did it.
Maybe it was the ghost of the Bloody Boy Devin ghost.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I should point out that my notes were not very thorough and were taken last night.
At one point, you fell behind and you were about to pause it to catch up and you were like, nah.
there wasn't enough to really require me writing about it. We cut back to the classroom where Genesis and Josh are passing a note back and forth in a way that would 100% get them caught. They are not being subtle about it. Like, when I passed notes in class, it was like a Mission Impossible situation. Like, you had to wait till they were turned around and you had to like slide it under the across the room. They're just like writing it down in Sharpie, handing it behind them.
Yeah. Genesis is sitting behind Josh, and she writes her note, crumples it up, which makes a million different noises, and then just bounces it off the back of his head.
And he's like, oh, and he reads it. And basically the note is like, it's happening again. And what they're referring to is Symphony being crazy about it.
Yeah, and then he just writes, she's fine, and tosses it back at her.
In the hallway, Gregory tries to find out what happened, and there's a lot of swearing and yelling and like last time this happened talk. And I was like, oh my God, is a Power Ranger going to swear? I don't think I'm ready for that. And let me tell you, they don't.
Everybody else does. I think a little more than usual to make up for the fact that they are not.
Ish does swear once or twice, but not like big ones. But in a couple minutes, Genesis will, I think, calls Josh an MF-er,
mm-hmm.
and he says back, a mofo?
like teens would say.
Like, that's where the movie was put on TBS.
Yeah.
And they had to clean it up.
So, they go through this whole thing with Craig. Where he's trying to be like, this has happened before, you know, what's wrong with her, what's going on? Josh is like, no, you'll have to ask her, it's not our place to tell you
anything.
Yeah, don't,
like...
And this is a good time to point out that Genesis is not a great actress.
No, she is... I feel like she is trying very hard, though.
Oh, she is definitely trying.
But she's not very good at all.
Genesis and Freedom do not have headshots on IMDb.
Well, that tracks. Freedom definitely looks like a guy I've seen on, like your lower budget cable shows as, like, punker number one.
His name is Matt Moore, and according to IMDb, his whole biography is Matt Moore is known for his work on Premonition 2007, Super 2010, and Mardi Gras Spring Break 2011.
Okay.
That's his whole biography.
All right.
I will not get into Genesis. I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent.
Okay. Gregory is very confrontational about last time and all that. And then he's like, just tell me what happened. And they're like, ask her yourself. And it just, the camera turns and there is Ish. And then she's like...
Well, Genesis is like staring off camera for what felt like 15 minutes at Ish. Like,
yeah. Waiting to introduce her, I guess. And then Ish basically says, like, I saw a bloody boy jump
through me like a ghost.
Because I guess he's a ghost.
And now
Stay tuned.
Now I'm spooked. I'm right spooked.
Yeah, and I've been duked by this bloody boy. What do you expect me to act like? Then we cut to a football game. And there's some football happening. And off to the side with some goth teens are... I was in high school in 2005. This is pretty accurate, actually. There's some goth teens off to the side, including Freedom, not doing anything.
That's the rally. It's the Bloody Boy
rally.
Is that
the rally? It's just this little part of some goth teens at the...
We're going to hang up behind the bleachers at the ball game
and
have a rally.
Come up, but they treat it like this is like some huge counterculture affair, but we never see it or barely hear about it again. Then we cut to a boy, a teen boy, a man, but playing a teen.
He's supposed to also be 17, but he is like
definitely not.
Yeah,
in an attic, and there's some like shh, gong, dong, dong, like machining sounds, and he's making his baseball golf.
Yeah,
his baseball golf is a metal baseball bat. With a
half a buzzsaw blade.
Yeah, a buzzsaw blade. It's either a half buzzsaw blade or a buzzsaw blade put into
right,
part
but
of
it's
it.
Not all the way through. It's only on one side of the baseball.
Yeah, thus making it a baseball golf.
Correct.
The technical term as given to us by Claudio from Rio de Janeiro. He is just in an attic doing that, and like, is this a ghost?
We're not even sure at this point when it shows him if this is Devin or if this is just like, I think maybe we're supposed to believe this might be Freedom, but we know Freedom's not here.
We know it's, and we'll see his face in a second. a woman comes up and it's not the mom because the mom died, but we actually didn't know that the parents died at this point. If they said it, they didn't say it very loud.
It might have been on that news report.
No, because the news report was the news report from... When he went missing.
Oh, and have it on a videotape? And she
Yes! That's why I thought it was a ghost that did it. Because, like, why else would that an 11-year-old thing come up? Like, that doesn't make any sense. So she brings him cake because it's his birthday, and she brings him a present. And then...
We're never going to find out what that present is, and that is killing me.
No, we did.
Me.
We did.
We did?
It's the jersey with his name on it.
Oh, yeah, you're right, you're right.
And his number 8.
You're right. Devin 8.
Devin 8.
Devin 89. I will be changing my Twitter handle. No, I won't.
Well, you've got double in principle. You got Devin 89. You got a lot of options. I bet you Devin 89 might be something
because 89 is the year that someone named Devin was probably born.
Well, even if you say Devin 8, the word, and then spell it out, that might also be something already. But he hits her with his baseball bat and kills her. This is when I'm like, is he alive? Like, is he a ghost? Because earlier we saw him go through a girl, but now he's in an attic.
And she's not treating him like a ghost. She's treating him like something she's been hiding and has been shutting because she's like, it's your birthday.
We'll go out for a walk.
We'll go to the park and you can be outside.
Yeah. Also, if he were a ghost, he'd still be a little boy and not a teen.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll go. You could be outside at the park and have a nice time. And he stands up with his baseball bat. And she's like, where'd you get that? Put that down.
Put that down.
And she starts getting mad at him. And I think we get our first Devin fisheye flashback.
Yeah, I call it the Snapchat flashbacks. It is his parents yelling at him very boringly, to be fair.
Yeah, his dad at one point
shut up, Moran.
Shut up, you Moran.
What an idiot.
And his mom is just like... Fuck you, Devin.
But you know what? Yeah, she's right. Fuck you, Devin. And your ghost. And your Legend of the Bloody Boy. Then an old man comes in. Is that?
That might be later.
Yeah.
But I don't know what would happen between
after the Snapchat flashbacks, that's when he hits the woman.
Okay.
And takes his present, a jersey that says Devin and the number 8 on it. And then we cut back to... the football game where all of the guys, which include Josh and Scott, who we will see for 1 second, and Jermaine and Craig, are just spitting a lot. They're just on a bleacher spitting.
There's like the fence behind the bleachers. I think every school had that.
Yeah.
And there's like a bucket on it that they're trying to spit into, and they are spitting.
Yeah, at one point,
like caps lock spitting.
At one point, this is the grossest thing that happens in this movie. Craig spits and it catches the wind and it hits Johnny Young Bosch in the face. And he's like, oh man. And I was like, no, that would be game ass over, my dude. Absolutely not.
The moral of this story is teens are gross.
Teens are horrible and disgusting. Then the cheerleaders come off the field, and I'm genuinely surprised that Craig is not a football player. That just surprises me. So I guess
none
of them are. I mean, I get Josh not being it. Like he's like the friend, but like the head, like a cheerleader is dating
Craig.
Craig.
He's just Craig.
He's just Craig. I feel like he would have another attribute, and that might be football player.
He's Craig, a student. That's it.
Here at the school. So they come off, and like a lot of people are like all the trailers are like flirting with just like some guys around.
Yeah, Craig comes up, and I think, is it Fantima? This is when Fantima walks up to him and is just like hanging on
him. No, that's a different girl whose name I can't remember.
Okay, she might not even have one. Who knows?
I feel like she did, but I will never remember it. Fatima goes up to Scott and whispers something, and then he like picks her up and then just walks off. He's like, well, gotta go bone down. See you guys later. And they go off to do some teen hijinks. And one of the cheerleaders who we did see earlier in the class for a second comes up and is like kind of flirting with Craig while Symphony is right there. And talking to...
Yeah, that is the only other names that could be. It's either Kelly or Bianca.
I think it's Bianca.
I think
Kelly is the girl that gets killed in the woods later.
I think you're right.
And so they're like talking about like the bloody boy and all this other stuff. And then we cut back to the house and an old man comes up to Devin. He comes in the house and he's like, ooh, a cake. And the lights are off. And then he goes upstairs.
Yeah, he's looking for... the old lady.
Yeah.
He's like calling out her name, which I think is Connie.
I think so. Yes.
And she doesn't answer, but Devin does.
And he just baseball bats him and kills him right away.
Yeah.
Keep this in mind because that's a thing later.
Yes.
We'll get back to it. So then we cut back to the football game and we see Devin come out of the house and Symphony sees him and is like, oh my God, that's him. But an adult man now, like, how would you put together, like, he just has a baseball bat. Like, yeah. Other than that, nothing is the same.
Symphony sees him and points him out to Genesis.
Yep.
Who does see him, because she does say later.
Later she will like, confirm
I saw him on the porch or whatever. But right now, she's going to look Symphony in the eyes and say, you got me crazy, you got me delusional.
Yeah. You know, like a sentence. You know, like how the English language
works.
How
like a teen would talk to another teen, Karen Ashley.
Then we cut to Fatima and Scott making out in the music room or like a concert
like an auditorium.
Hall. Yeah. And there's like a piano on stage in a theater seating.
We definitely see like the door past the seats shut. We don't see it open or anyone come in, but we see and hear it shut, and that freaks out Fatima.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, stop. And he's like, it's not what you said last night. And she's like, oh, don't kiss and tell. And it's like, well, you're alone.
I'm telling you what I did with you.
What you did with him. So I think this is just dialogue to have some. I don't want to analyze this too hard, but it doesn't quite make any sense. Then, wouldn't you know it,
Devin
comes in. I thought this was a boiler room at first from the angles that we were shot at, but it is like a theater room. Devin appears behind them like a ghost.
Yeah, I think this time we might see him kind of like walk a step or two to like just kind of affirm that he like is arriving.
Yeah.
But we will definitely see him just appear later.
Yeah, it's weird.
But he sees them kissing on each other. And then he has another Snapchat flashback to his parents making out.
Yeah.
And that makes him mad. And then so he kills them. He kills the boy and he kills the girl.
He hits Scott first in the guts with the blade side of the baseball golf. And then just wails on her until she is presumably a wet pile of bone chunks. and then Scott isn't dead yet. Fatima, super dead. Scott's not dead yet. He's just bleeding out and crawling away. And then Devin comes up and finishes him off and takes his hat. And we're split on the hat part.
Yeah, I swear he had it in the house. I might just be putting it there because I expected him to have it.
Yeah, because on like all the pictures and the cover and all that. I thought he had it, but also...
Because I swear the image of him outside the house when Ish sees him is like him with his head down and the visor of a hat covering his face.
It was like backlit, so maybe you just couldn't
tell. It could have just been a weird silhouette.
I don't think he did have it, but he also might have because I genuinely can't remember and I'm not going to go look.
No, I'm not going to check.
But now he has a hat so he can cover his eyes. He also got like that like eye black.
Underneath
it somewhere at some point just to complete the ensemble. Outside in a parking lot, Josh comes up to his car and Genesis spooks him.
He gets in the car to like start it and leave, and Genesis pops out of the back seat and scares the crap out of him.
We should mention that like the Symphony like yelled at her earlier when she's like, "You got me crazy, you got me delirious."
Well, yeah, because Symphony was freaking out because she just saw Devin, and then Genesis says that wonderful line, and then Genesis slaps Symphony, and that's what sends Symphony off.
Yeah,
and they have like either an argument or like she shoves her down or something.
Yeah, I think she shoves her. Yeah,
that's her signature move, is pushing you down.
Yeah, that's her finisher. Genesis is drunk now, yeah. And she's talking to Josh, and there's some like weird slut shaming stuff that happens real quick.
Yeah, because she's like, "How come you've never tried to date me? Like, we've been best friends, you never tried to date me."
Yeah,
and then he says, I would rather be the one that didn't have it.
Yeah, which like, hey man, that ain't cool. Maybe back off of that. Then she says that she did see Devin. This is weird because like Josh is helping her out of the backseat, or no, back into the backseat because she came out and is all stumbly and drunk and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'm going to take you home now." And he tries to get her in there. Also, it's been like 3 minutes and she turned. So like, I guess she just downed a bottle of Kettle One or something. Craig.
She's riding that night train.
Oh, that'll do it. Oh man. Night train. It says wine. I'm pretty sure it's motor oil.
Fermented motor oil.
Yeah. It's bad. So this is when Craig and Symphony come up and they're like, "Ooh, Josh, look at that, getting some." And he's like, "No, shut up. She's hammered, so I'm getting her into the car." And then she's like, "Whatever, let's leave." And so her and Craig leave, Symphony and Craig leave. And then this is when Genesis says that she did see Devin. She's like, "She got me crazy."
Yeah.
Like seeing things and stuff. And it's like, okay, so you did, you know that hallucinations are not contagious.
Yeah, she can't like give you
impart them to you. Then they all leave, and this is when Jermaine is coming up to, we'll find out he is Jermaine later. He's coming up to his car to also leave, and Devin is in the parking lot now.
Yep, and like
he's bloody, I guess.
He's bloody. He sees Jermaine, and he's not like going up to kill him. But he does throw a bloody baseball at him.
Yeah.
And then Jermaine, he doesn't like whip it at him like he's
he
trying
like
to
rolls
kill him
it
with
to
it.
Him.
He rolls it to him. And Jermaine bends down and picks it up and notices the blood and gets like horrified. And he looks up at Devin, who's just in a batter stance.
Yeah, waiting.
Yeah. Because he wants to play?
Yeah, well, we'll see that later. But also, his MO, as we read, is that he kills couples.
Yes.
So Jermaine is not a couple. Runs away from his car.
Yeah,
and Devin does give a little bit of chase, and then we cut away. So I think
he just goes and gets his ball back.
Maybe that might be true.
And then do we cut to the bathroom? Because the next that cut I want to talk about.
We not just yet.
Okay, because I don't know if you noticed it. You might have been taking a note when we first got there.
I think I was.
Okay, we'll wait until it happens.
I really hope I wrote down. Okay, yeah, the bathroom scene is much later. This is actually going to be a two-parter because we are on kind of a schedule.
Yeah.
So the next one will be the rest of it, but we're going to get a little bit more in, and then next one will be this coming Friday. So the next day, because Devin has menaced Jermaine enough that he runs away. Okay, so the next day, I'm still calling him Carlos at this point because I don't know his name. I don't know Isha's name. I don't know Genesis's name yet. And we are like 10, 15 minutes into the movie. So they have not made up. They argued, right, at the end. Carlos that's what I'm calling him right now. Craig and Symphony have argued at this point.
I think so.
Because they haven't made up yet. And so then they're like arguing more, but there was a double murder in the school, and Ish sees this, like sees the caution tape and everyone talking out loud about a double murder that happened, like the police and stuff, which they wouldn't do. And then she sees Genesis and they kind of make up over the fact that people were murdered and like, it's the bloody boy and all that. They look at like the murder house. They like go out on the yard and they're looking at the murder house, which is just what I called where Devin was.
Right.
And where he came from again. And Craig comes up and he's like, "I gotta know right now. What's up with this bloody boy? Like, what's going on?" And they're like, "Okay, here it is." And they just lay out the whole thing right there.
Okay. We get it all again.
We get it all again for like the fourth. This is the most concise version of it that explains the most, because it's Josh explaining all of it, like,
yeah,
what happened, and not just like, here's some flashes and pieces and stuff. So then we find out that Devin killed his parents, and also the lawyer was killed.
We find out that he's killed? We find out, because I don't think we find out that he is dead until
later. Yeah, we do find out that the lawyer was Isha's dad.
Yes.
So that's one of the reasons she thinks that he is haunting her, specifically because her dad is what got his parents off.
Right.
So,
and they do keep bringing up that, like, the case got so big that it, like, made celebrities out of the parents, so they got rich and famous off of the death of Devin.
Yeah, and then, like, that led into a whole bunch of stuff. And most of this is because Mark Miller, like, sensationalized the whole thing and all that. Then we cut to the weirdest scene in the movie, and that's kind of saying something. Mark Miller comes up to, the police chief, outside of the police chief's car.
Yep.
And he's talking to him about, like, it's happening again. I'm going to get the scoop. I'm going to make double news. Ratings, ratings, ratings. I'm a garbage person. And the whole time, the camera is doing one of two things. It is either walking back and forth, side to side. It's doing, you remember in gym class when you were a kid, galloping?
Yeah.
It's doing that. Or it's just cutting.
Cutting to different angles of whoever is talking.
But not cutting in such a way that it's a different shot. It's like, basically the same shot, but one inch to the left and closer, and then back. And it's so jarring and so dumb and bad.
It's like, it's so bad that it's a little nauseating and very disorienting.
There's like two filmmaking rules that like everyone knows not to break unless you're getting weird, right? And they're not getting weird right now, so you can't break them. One, don't jump cut, which is just cutting to the same shot, but either closer or farther away. Or, like, the same angle but a little bit different. Like, don't do that. And don't break the 180 rule. And at least this movie didn't do that. The 180 rule is two people are talking, that creates a line between them. Do not cut to the other side unless you go somewhere else first.
Okay.
Because it will throw everybody off. Like, it will look like they are in a different place just because they are on the opposite side of the screen.
Right,
so,
right.
And I have seen diagrams of like seven, like I did a in my digital cinematography class, we did a short called Supervillains Anonymous, which is just a bunch of, was it Superheroes Anonymous? I think it's Supervillains Anonymous, which is just like a bunch of supervillains, like, oh, being a villain is tough, huh? And there's like eight people in there, and we had to keep track of eight different 180 lines, and it was rough. We basically put the camera in like two places and we're like, this is it. But I thought for a second that they were about to just cut to the other side just because they're getting crazy.
Yeah.
They're breaking the rules now.
There was, if we can just jump back to the scene in the principal's office with Isha real quick.
Yeah.
When it first gets there, we get like a very close-up shot of the table and then just like a glass being slammed down and some water being poured into it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this movie thinks it's artsy.
Yeah, you can tell that JYB and your boy Koichi wanted to get a little fancy.
Yep.
And maybe a bad horror movie is not the time or place.
Yeah, maybe not. It's like a C-grade horror movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't call
it's rated R only because they swear so much, I think.
Yeah, like they did submit it to the MPAA, or they're just saying it's rated R.
Or they were just like, this is an R-rated movie.
It meets all the criteria. They say the F-word at least twice, so that's F. That's an R movie,
yeah.
You know, and there's blood and stuff. So like,
yeah, but the blood is so obviously fake.
The blood is like literally, you could get away with all that blood being PG-13. Well, I don't think so. I think that maybe too much like blood also puts it in R. This basically could have been an unrated movie, and no one would have noticed or cared. Also, that is a ice cream vendor, so that's gonna be happening. Also, another cool thing about this scene is the music is so bad. It's like
I forgot all about that.
It keeps starting and stopping. It's like burning a wan and 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 a wan.
And this is the point of the movie, because a lot of it before this did not have any music. And then from
there was a song at the pep rally, and there was like some music right when it came in school. But
there was just no like background score.
It was like songs. There wasn't like a score. Yeah.
But now from here on, the music starts to compete with the dialogue for like the rest of the movie. Anytime music comes up, it's hard to focus on what anybody is saying because the music has words and is up too loud.
Yeah, there's a scene later where Freedom is talking over some music, and it's very loud. It's just very, and like, I know what he was saying, but just check your levels, guys. We come back to the principal, the new principal, not the old principal, lady principal, who has like another flashback of seeing Devin get abused, basically, and doing nothing, because she did see, like, the mom like grab him by the shoulders and shake him and then push him into the house.
Yeah, is it the mom or the dad that brings him into the house and gets him in like a cross-faced chicken wing and drags him into the
building?
And
she was just like, oh no, I wish I could help
you.
She
let out a concerned moan.
Called the cops, maybe? These people should not be living across the street from a school?
She just went and sulked in the teacher's lounge, I guess?
Like, what?
That poor bloody boy.
Oh, so dumb.
I could help him, but I won't.
But instead, nah. Then the other principal comes up, and they're talking about how, like, attendance is down, and, like, it's...
Because of the murder last night.
There was a murder last night, attendance is down, and still dropping. Hey.
Yep, people are going home early.
I guess, because that's the only way that can work. Then they have to then this is my favorite thing, they have to cancel the barbecue. What barbecue? Have we heard about this? Nope. What school? It's the second day of school, and there's like, they're gonna hate that we gotta cancel the barbecue. What? What does this mean? It's an excuse to have a house party, but you could have just had a house party.
Yes.
You didn't need to go through all this rigmarole. And she's like, all right, tell the coach we got to cancel the barbecue. Because I guess it's part of homecoming week or something. So then the coach...
Josh and Craig and Jermaine?
Jermaine, yeah.
Are like moving coolers into a hallway, I guess, for the barbecue.
For the barbecue.
And the coach comes in the door and he has a wig on.
Yeah.
He has like a gray hair wig on and glasses. And the glasses go... under the wig.
Yeah, they go towards his ears, but they go under the wig first.
They disappear underneath the wig.
And, like, I know that if you have hair and it goes, like, that is a way to do glasses. I don't have glasses, so I don't really know exactly. But, like, this is, like, clearly, like, under a wig.
Yeah, there is a line where the wig comes off his head and the glasses go in.
To slick the glasses in. Yeah, it's pretty bad. And he's like, hey, guys, got to cancel the barbecue from the last scene. When they said they had to cancel the barbecue.
The guys are all like, aw, man.
Not the barbecue.
Is Freedom with them now? No, he's not. He will pop up during the bathroom scene.
Yes.
But I don't think he is helping
them
move anything.
He's not with them now. Then we smash cut to the bathroom.
Yeah. We smash cut to Jermaine sitting on a toilet with his pants all the way down.
Yeah. like, they no, actually, we don't. That's in a second. We smash cut to them peeing.
Okay.
And then
we
can see Jermaine in the background.
There's
we,
definitely a shot like from above down
with
of
his
him on
pants
the
around his ankles. Like, here's him pooping.
And then they have a conversation about something, and Freedom shows up at the door, and Craig is at the sink, and Josh is like leaning on the wall because I guess he doesn't have to go, but still wants to hang out.
He just wants to hang out with the pooping man.
And Jermaine is pooping in the stall behind everybody. And so when they're talking to Freedom, you can see Jermaine's head because Craig has his hand on his hip, and you can see Jermaine's head in the gap between his body and his arm.
It's so dumb. So yeah, they're basically like, we gotta have this barbecue. Everyone loves the barbecue. We gotta have it. And Craig's like, my parents are out of town this weekend. We'll have the barbecue at my place. And they're like, okay, yeah, is that a good idea? And they're like, yeah, we gotta do the barbecue. You know how we loved it. I guess, like, is this a thing? Is this a thing that people do? Is, like, a barbecue around homecoming a thing? Because I don't know. I just don't know. Anyway, this is when Freedom shows up, a.k.a. Guyliner. And I don't remember what he says or why he's here.
Do you guys know about the Bloody Boy?
He's basically like, hey, murders are bad. Like, oh, Bloody Boy, it's happening. You know. all this stuff.
It's nothing we didn't already know or hear of.
And I think this is one of the scenes where they're trying to be like, was it freedom?
If but it was freedom, why would he show face? Up? Why we saw Devin's face, obviously. But if it was freedom, why would he poke into a secret bathroom in a barbecue hallway and be like, did you hear about those murders that someone did?
I also heard about.
I didn't do them.
Not me. No, sir. No, what I think it is because they've already said copycat a couple times at this point. Like, it's a like especially in the Mark Miller and Chief scene. They're like, it's a copycat serial killer doing all this. It's like, okay, sure. I think they wanted to set this up. But then at another point, they were like, this is like two different drafts. Like one where Devin's a secret killer and one where it's a ghost that we saw 100 times already. And
it makes a lot of sense if it's two movies, one where Devin is a ghost and one where he is not.
And one where Freedom is a copycat killer. Yeah. It's a Saw 2 situation, but it's not. And so this is pointless. Then we cut to the house party. And I think that's where we're going to end for the day.
Yeah, we'll pick up here.
The house party is yeah, we gotta go do a Pokemon World Tour live stream. The house party is where like everything starts popping off and like the horror movie starts.
Yeah.
Because right now it's like, yeah, there's some stuff. But like later, there's like a lot of murders coming up that we'll get to. So thank you guys for listening. Next part will be on Friday. I didn't do any of this stuff. MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is our website. So CJKJosh.com is the archives are. Whatever. You can email us at littleidiots.morphinggrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid or on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And you can leave us a rate review. We'd love that. Thank you very much. And also, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. For as little as a dollar a month, you get some cool stuff in return, and we would really, really appreciate it. We'll see you on Friday for the rest of Devin's Ghost, Legend of the Bloody Boy. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Where were we? News report. Should have written that out. Don't know what that stands for.
What is it?
BHG. The big hungry guy.